Thanks for tuning into Faith Church Podcast. We're a church that believes in getting people connected, seeing families grow, and lives being changed. We hope that this message will speak to you today. It was all in our hearts, and I believe you're going to love it. Let's get to it.
So here we go. We're going to talk today about identity, discerning between the real you and the fake you. You know, here's the deal. Anybody ever seen these right here? Would you rather have Doritos? Real. Nacho cheese, nacho, not so real, right? It was like, that's nacho real. They look the same, but not really. It's a knockoff. There's the real version of you, and there's the fake version of you. I think Austin has my phone. We're actually going to bring that up here for a second, because all the time we're putting on masks during COVID-19. I think they got it here. Oh, look at that right there. There's that look. Does that look good? That's a look. There's another look. These are faces that we put on, not so good. I don't know. I love that one. That's a little crazy, right? These are all images, social media. We're looking through the lens of who we want to be instead of who God has called us to be. I remember growing up, I grew up in a little trailer, and you talk about giving you an identity issue. First of all, I never went to a public school. I was the number one in my class. I was the top in my class, but I was the only guy in my class because I was homeschooled way before COVID-19 when everybody's homeschooled. Nobody had ever heard of homeschool. So basically what we would do is my dad was an evangelist. We lived in this trailer and we'd go from one city, then we'd be there for like a week, and then the next city and we'd be there for like a week. So I had no roots. When they would play the game, Red Rover, call, what's your name, over? I never really got picked, so I always felt like there was some kind of identity thing going on in my life. I didn't know who I identified with. I was looking for it. Sometimes we do that, don't we? And that insecurity led me down a path where I really felt it even as an adult. Actually, one good part about being insecure is you have something to prove. So oftentimes people that are very successful, they are like, I'm going to prove that I'm somebody. And so for years, I spent my life actually building Faith Church, which was good. But at the same time, a lot of my identity was tied to the church. After God starts his healing process in me, and I realize, wait a minute, some of the stuff I've done is just because I wanted people to see that I am good enough. I am strong enough. Saturday Night Live, right? And by God, I love me. And then sometimes in a meeting, I would come across kind of like full of ego because I was insecure. And when you're insecure, you start selling something that actually isn't real. It's like, no, I should be humble. And people look and say, shouldn't he be humble? When really that insecurity comes out and it seems egocentric. I hold in my hand the glasses as it started when I was about 15. We finally moved to one location and my dad started a church and there was this band called Mylon LeFevre and Broken Heart. He had a song called Stranger to Danger, but I'm gonna be. Oh man, this guy was so cool. And on stage, he wore these glasses, the leather on the side. He had them on stage and he was singing and his guitar was going. And I thought, that's who I want to be. That's who I want to identify with. So out on his, you know, product table, he sells these glasses. So I had the glasses. I come home from the concert. My dad didn't want me to go to this concert. This is a long-haired hippie, Jesus freak kind of guy. Dad didn't agree with that. You need to wear your Sansibel pants and your tie, right? So he sees this on me and he goes, I know you're looking for your identity, but that's not it. And that policeman that he was, that military strong personality, he just ripped it off of my head and broke him away. And I was crushed. But obviously he was right. I was looking for my identity and that's not it. But as you grow in life, you'll still find out that you're still looking for your identity. I found myself being a pastor of a successful church, but I was still looking for my identity. I would think, why don't those people invite me to that conference? I want to be invited to that conference. Or worse, sometimes they would use the benefits of who I was. Hey, promote my book, which by the way, always freaks me out. It's like, hey, I never talked to you, but now I'm going to say, hey, will you promote my book? Oh, I want you to help me here. But I thought, oh, they're going to like me if I do this. They're going to like me if I do that. And the next thing I know, it's like they had a conference again and they didn't ask me in. So, you know, I'm 50, right? And at 50 years old, I had to realize they might not like me, but I've got to like me. They might like what I can do for them, but I'm not going to find my identity in trying to impress them. I've got to impress him. Thank God for Faith Church and a lot of people who are watching right now and hitting share on social media because you're saying, hey, this is speaking to me right now. I'm kind of being naked here right now, telling you to stop looking for your identity in them, find it in them. You have to realize that God liked you, He created you, and as hard as you try to press to get in that club, you'll not get in that club. You'll feel less than. You'll feel uninvited. Instead of saying, I'm a child of the Most High God, I'm blessed, I'm favored, I'm anointed, I have a unique thumbprint to leave an imprint, and I might not be in with them, I might not be in that conference, and I don't know why, but I'm going to like me. And still walk in love and love them. I don't always like people, but I love them. Can I get an amen in there? Stop looking for the perfect life. I have some social media posts that I want to put up right here. It looks so perfect on Instagram, right? This lady has perfect form and you're like, I am impressed with Margaret. But when you zoom out, boom, she had her friend holding her. You know, that's it. I just woke up like this. It's the perceived mask that we put on to try to prove to people that we are something that we're not. That's why oftentimes we feel like we're a fake. Even in my own life, I think, man, will people still like me when they find out that I'm not perfect? Will they still like me when they find out I got mad? Because we always feel like, in a way, we're a fraud. But really, God is working through this imperfect person. And we're all imperfect. But since everybody is acting perfect on social media, they're saying, here's what I look like on Facebook. Here's what I look like on LinkedIn. Here's what I look like on Instagram. And oftentimes, it's not real. Everybody wants to have a public... I want you to write this down. We live in a time where everyone wants to be a public figure. It's like, everybody's got a mic. Everybody's got a voice. My daughter said the other day, it was hilarious. She's like, I crack up when I look on Instagram Live, and there's 19,000 people on Instagram Live, and there's like three people on it. She's like, really? You should do a FaceTime. Okay, so we live in a world where there is always pressure to perform. We do it for the gram. I made a good meal, but I actually got to post it on Instagram. And I do it too. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't enjoy it, but don't be okay being okay, not putting everything in a perfect order. As a pastor of a church, you know, I think right now of Sunset Hills, 2,400 seats. I never post a Sunday morning, 9 o'clock crowd shot because, I mean, you could land an airplane in there, right? It's empty. Actually, to tell you the truth, during COVID-19, there's a part of me that likes what I'm doing right now because I don't feel like, oh, is the crowd full? Are they into it? I mean, I have to just trust that you're watching online, trust that you're sharing. But a lot of that is identity issues again. Am I making sense? Just rest. And realize if they zoomed out on your life, they would probably still like you. In fact, maybe they would like you more because you're not just faking. The next post shows somebody's room, right? It's like, oh man, wow, she has it perfect. Then when you zoom out, look, it looks like my daughter's room. Come on, somebody. It's just stuff everywhere. But we zoom in and we say, this is the part of my life I want you to see. I want you to believe. It's the fake me. It's not the real me. Listen, I'm here to tell you that there's nobody that can be a better you than you. And you have to be you. Nobody else can be you but you. There's going to be a hole in the whole epicenter of what God is doing in the world globally if you don't be the real you. I think that's why a lot of people like Joyce Meyer. She just gets up and says, yeah, I got mad the other day because I preached this conference. I went home and I wanted Dave not to go golf. He just loves ball, anything with a ball, baseball, softball, tennis ball, golf ball, just all about the ball. I wanted to be with me, but then God dealt with me and told me, you know what, Joyce, just let Dave be Dave and then you be you. And then girls go, wow, somebody is real. People like organic. They're done with genetically modified fake people. What would happen if you would be you? I want this guy to ask me out. Well, maybe you ought to just be you. I want this girl to ask me out, but I need her to know that I've got a sports car. She knows that's rented. Come on, somebody. Maybe you'd look better in a small car saying, don't laugh, but it's paid for. Maybe if you showed people the authenticity of who you really are and who you're called to be, then you wouldn't try to impress them. And then God all of a sudden would take you from the hidden backside and he would take you to the destination that he's called you to walk in. I actually have these little things on social media. It says, you know, here's Bob Smith. Here he is on Facebook. So we see Bob on Facebook. He looks awesome. Bob, I'm a dreamer of dreams. Life is short. Live it long. Content creator of Bob Smith Enterprises, right? It's like Bob Smith Global. Bob, okay, next one. It shows, okay, here's Bob now on LinkedIn. Bob is very professional. He looks incredible on LinkedIn. The next thing we see is Bob on Instagram. Now, same Bob, but Beanie Bob, right? He's got to have. And then also we're noticing here because he really wanted his followers to get big. So now he had to actually follow. This is fronting people. If we don't get enough likes, oh, I'm glad they hid likes because it actually made people feel okay. They got Instagram realized that people were finding their identity in likes or dislikes. I'm here to tell you, we live in a world where everybody gets up in the morning and they say, here's the filter. Oh, I'm doing a post. Oh, I better actually use Snapchat to do this. And then I'll store it on the phone and then I'll link it to my Instagram because I don't have my makeup on. Just be you. I'm not saying don't take a shower. I'm just saying don't put so much emphasis on this image when really you're created in the image and the likeness of Almighty God. I want to talk to you a minute about living in a secure realm of knowing who you are and whose you are for a minute. I want to slow it down and go through the life of a guy named Moses. Holy Mo here. Moses is living in a very unique thing, a system that is designed to kill him right out the get-go. Chapter 2 says, "And about this time, the man and a woman from the tribe of Levi got married. The woman became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and she saw that it was a special baby, and she kept him hidden." I want you to underline that. Kept him hidden for 3 months. Notice that sometimes God will hide you. He'll hide you in a season. He's hid for 3 months. You've been hid maybe in quarantine for a couple months, and God was doing something on the inside of you. You didn't realize that you were on the run every day, getting up, putting a mask on, going to work, but not dealing with the issues in your marriage. You didn't realize that you really didn't know who your kids were. You took them to church, and you took them in a class, they taught them, and then you took them to school, and they taught them, and then you came home and fed them real quick, drive through Chick-fil-A. Thank God it's not Sunday. You might have said on any day that wasn't Sunday, right? And so we were actually masking, fronting, but God was keeping you hidden. I think about TV Jakes. We know TV Jakes. You know him as TD Jakes. They call him TD Jakes, but TD Jakes was hidden for a long, long season of his life in the hills of West Virginia in a very small church. God was protecting him. He was getting him ready for something great, global influence. If you think about all the iconic things that TV Jakes did, he was not TV Jakes, he was TD Jakes, but God took him on the backside, much like David, where he was hidden, and God said, "Now I am uncovering you in this season to take you to the next level." I'm telling you that God is about to uncover some people in this season when you identify who you really are, but the problem is you don't really know who you are. At some point, you need to say, "I know who I am. I'm blessed. I'm chosen. I'm forgiven. I'm anointed. I'm qualified. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I'm not going to live my life for the praise of others. I'm not going to live my life for the gram. I'm going to live it for who I am. Who am I? I'm an overcoming child of the Most High God, and destiny's on the inside of me. And they might not like me, but he loves me. And since he loves me, I love me. And if I love me, I can love my neighbor as myself." Come on, somebody ought to shout amen right now. And if you're watching on social media, if this is hitting your heart, I want you to share, text, because people need to find out who they really are. For years, I didn't know who I was until my biological dad said, "That's not it. Keep looking." I'm telling you right now, well, if I dress this way and show them all this, that's not it. Keep looking. Well, if I bought that car and got that degree, that's not it. Keep looking. I'm telling you right now, God has the ability to help you internalize your accomplishments. I want you to write this down. Many of us do this. Many of us have the inability to internalize our own strengths and accomplishments. For years, guys, I could not internalize my own accomplishments. I had to verbalize my accomplishments. So I had to tell you how great I am, how strong I am. Why? Because I didn't feel good about me. I want you to write this down. I want you not to live out of I want you to live out of purpose, not popularity. I want you to say, "I know what my purpose is, and I'm not here just to be popular." Even at Faith Church, oftentimes I preach messages that are popular. I tell you things that I'm saying, this about COVID. I think this is going on behind the scenes. I think that the church right now has been silenced and you've been tested to see how you will behave if you were locked down. They're arresting preachers and letting criminals go free. It's really kind of an interesting time, but I'm actually living in my purpose. Why? I don't want you to live out of the purpose of men or the praises of men. I want you to actually live out the purpose of God. Because men will praise you 1 minute and then they'll damn you the next. They'll say you're awesome over here and crucify you the next day. So you got to find out who you are and whose you are and stick with that approved plan. He kept him hidden for 3 months. But when she was no longer able to hide him, she got a basket that was waterproofed, tarred it, and put the baby in the basket and laid it on the Nile River. She waterproofed it. I looked up that word waterproof there, and it actually it says here waterproofed. It says it also was known as a garment or a coat, which reminded me of Joseph's coat of many colors. God said to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So right now in COVID-19 on this Sunday morning, I want you to start saying, God has me covered. He has a coat of blessing on my life. Even when my biological brothers threw me in a pit, I knew I was called to be in the palace, but there's a lot of pits and prisons on the way to the palace. Come on, that's a lot of peas there. But you have a purpose that is powerful. And through the power of prayer, come on, that's a whole lot of peas. God will do something in you. And then when he does something in you, he will take you out of hiding and you will be waterproof, ready to do what God has called you to do. Verse 4 says, and the baby's sister stood at a distance. The baby's sister stood at a distance watching. God spoke to me when I read this text, Faith Church, and he said that God is watching at a distance right now to see how you're handling this stressful situation. Are you a reactor? Are you angry? Are you mad? Or are you saying, I'll take joyfully the spoiling of my goods. I'm going to count it all joy when I fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of my faith worketh patience. I will not grow weary in well-doing, but I will reap if I faint not. I count it all joy. God, I thank you today that the church has been shut down. I see the big church off Highway 70, and we're making payments on it, but I'm not mad. I see 30, I'm not mad. I see Weldon, I see Ferguson, I see Royal Palm, I see West Palm. I'm not mad. I'm going to enjoy this season. Would I rather it be the other way? Yes, but I don't think we're ever going back to normal business as normal. One reason I know is a lot of you have dedicated your life now to say, I found my church. Please don't leave. We're going to keep bringing these quality experiences to you online. That's why you need to like this page, follow this page, and share it with everybody. Because just like Jesus did his greatest works from an empty tomb, he was in the tomb, but then he left. It says he is there no more. He has risen, and he went about, and he was to the highways and byways and compelled them to come in. We had an empty tomb. Now at our churches, we have an empty room. But guess what? We've never been so powerful. We've never, ever taken such a dilemma and crisis and invented strategies that freed us forever. If you're a business person, I want you to write this down. In a dilemma or crisis, you must invent strategies on the fly. We've invented how to do lights at home. We invented, and you guys helped us through Facebook to get us from like 150,000 likes to almost 250,000. I believe we could go to 300. Why do we want that? Not to impress people, but to reach people. I'm going to say it again. Not to impress people, but to reach people. So in business, in dilemma, you got to figure out what it is that's next for you and realize that God has had you covered, hidden, waterproofed, but the babysitter stood at a distance. Not only is God watching you right now, people are watching you. Oftentimes the greatest thing for you is the next person that you're going to meet. But at a distance, they're watching you to see how you treat others. When I'm hiring people, especially if it's a high-level employee, I like to bring them to my house. I don't do it with everybody, but if it's a high-level person, I want to see how they treat their wife after a couple of days. I want to see how they play games. I want to see if they let everybody else clean up for them. See what I'm saying? That's why in life, you have to understand that somebody besides just God is watching you. She stood at a distance, verse 5. So Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river. Watch the divine providence of God. And when the princess saw the basket, she told her maid, go get it. And when the princess opened it, she saw this baby. This little boy was crying, and she felt compassion for him. She felt sorry for him. And then she said, this must be one of the Hebrew children. Then the babysitter or the baby sister approached the princess. Watch wisdom kick in here. Watch innovation, Christian. She said, hey, do you want me to go get one of the Hebrews to nurse the baby? She said, yes, I do. The princess replied. So the girl went and called the baby's mother. Notice the Holy Spirit spoke to me. This is verse 8. 8 is new beginnings. God took what the devil meant for evil and he turned it around for the good. God had his sister sitting there incognito saying, I'm about to actually get your mama to nurse the baby and get paid to do it. Think about this right now in proximity to where you're at. You're staying at home, nursing your kids, educating your kids, loving your kids, getting a check from another system. There is a movement of funding. There's a transfer of wealth. There's a transfer of strategy. Somebody ought to shout amen. And God is looking at you right now and say, what are you going to do with the check? What are you going to do with the resources? Are you going to squander it? Are you going to gripe about it? Are you going to say, look what the Lord has done? I wish I had a Hammond B3 right now. I preach it. Come on, somebody ought to help me. So here God is in verse 8. Verse 9 said, take the baby and ask this person to nurse it for me. The princess told the baby's mother, I will pay you for your help. Come on, I looked that up. Pay you for your help. Everybody shout, I'm getting ready to get paid. I pay you for your help. Now look at this. When I just Google it, I love Google. Isn't it awesome? I was like, hey, Siri, pay. Check this out. Paying. To transfer money, goods, etc. Making a purchase or settling a debt. This means all debts are about to be canceled. There's a transfer of money that is happening. In fact, she's getting paid to nurse a child that God gave her that the devil said, I'm going to take that baby away from you. And then God gave her a strategy. God gave her a concept. God gave her an idea. And then she went with the covering of the blood, with the covering of the Father. And now floating down the river, the baby just happens to be at the right space, at the right place, at the right time. And now an evil system and rulership comes in and begins to say, I will pay you. I will transfer money into your account. The reason why this is important, if you will praise God right now, figure out that in the middle of this mess, there's a message. In the middle of this test, there's a testimony. Then you're going to watch God do more for you than you ever thought before. But if you're doing it for the gram, if you're trying to figure out who you are, I'm here to tell you who you are today. You're loved by God. You're adopted by God. You are chosen by God. You're on purpose with a purpose. And somebody ought to shout amen to this today. What the devil meant to harm Joseph, God turned it around for his good. Now you have to remember, he's living as a Hebrew in an Egyptian world as he's being nursed and taken care of. Verse 10 says, later when the boy was older, notice there's some time that happens. His mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. And the princess named him Moses, for she exclaimed, I lifted him out of the water. Moses means lift out. God is lifting you up above COVID. He's lifting you out of the miry clay. He's setting your feet on the rock to stay today. He's going to put a song in your heart if you'll say, you know what? I've been adopted. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. Now, let's talk about identity for a second through the adoption process, though. There had to be some insecurities there. He's living in two worlds. He's being raised by his mother and nursed there in this Hebrew culture. He's the second born, so he knows he can never be anything great in that culture. Yet over here on this adopted side, he could never probably be the prince because, after all, he's just adopted. So he's mitigating two worlds. There's this gap. There's this chasm. And so now God is trying to let him know, I'm actually doing this for you to make you more diverse. When I think about my wife who was adopted by her stepdad, I know him as Pop. I don't know her biological dad. He called one night when we first got married drunk 20 some odd years ago. I heard he needed money. I heard he was a problem, but he was never really in her life. But actually that pain, and I don't make light of that, that's horrible. But there's a lot of insecurities there. There's a lot of issues there because that dad left her. That might be you today because maybe you lived with your real parents, but you were never fathered, right? You were never mothered, right? You were always told you're less than, you're stupid, you never, you always. And then, or you maybe even worse now, you got love from a man, but now he left you. He divorced you. But see, what I want you to understand is God is trying to settle the insecurity today and realize you're not just a regular, a knockoff. You're an original. Do you want this bag or this bag? Do you want to be this? Or do you want to be this? You are created in the image and the likeness of God. And God has a purpose for you. And somebody's not just going to like you. They're going to love you, but they're going to love you. Y-O-U. Not the you you pretend to be. We all have that. I hope you think I'm this. I hope my Instagram conveys this. I hope my, you know, man, I look better in that light, in that image. God's saying, no. I love you just the way you are. Insecurities. Verse 11 says, many years later, when Moses had grown up, he went to visit his own people, the Hebrews. And when he saw how hard they were forced to work, notice he's a problem solver. Notice he's a deliverer. During his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating another one. And to make it right, he went and he killed him. Man, you got to be careful making weird decisions, permanent decisions because of anger. Because I believe, because of all this insecurity that he had, all of this impulse that he had, everything that was going on in his life, all the pain that he had right then, he was making decisions that were rash and that were actually going to really be a problem. Now, I want you to write this down. Never make a permanent decision based on a temporary situation. Never make a permanent decision based on a temporary situation. COVID's not going to last forever. I hear preachers even saying, we will never go back to normal. Church will never be normal again. It'll never be. I understand what they're saying, but some of them are over-amplifying it. You're still going to be tempted to go to the ballgame instead of church. You're still going to be aggravated. You're still going to say, oh, well, ballet recitals there. Let's put that back up there on that permanent decision one more time. You're going to be tempted to go right back to the same way you were. May I have permission? Tell me yes or no on Instagram, on Facebook. May I have permission to tell you you're doing it again? You're putting everything above God. See, when we actually put everything above God, what we do is we take God away and then we experience lockdown. See, where God is, there is freedom. He who the Son has set free is freed indeed. Look, when they took God out of school, they had to put in, metal detectors, right? And they began to shoot each other and kill each other and stab each other, and we had problems. When they took God out of the government, we had government shut down. When they took God off of everything that is holy, now, without God, we have no freedom. So here's what I'm telling you. I want permission to talk to you about these insecurities, anger, impulse decisions that you're making, and know who you really are. Who are you at the end of COVID-19? I'm almost done. Are you going to be a true child of God? Are you going to be on purpose with a purpose? Are you going to make a difference? You have to figure out in every situation how God's going to actually reverse this situation around for your good. Now let's talk about this for one more time, about insecurity and anger. When he got angry and he killed that guy, maybe it was because he felt rejected, and when he saw other people rejected, it really set him off. Maybe it triggered him. Maybe the shame and the hurt of his past. We know for sure that hurt people hurt people. So in this dilemma, in this strategy that I'm talking about right now, the only thing that stays the same is change. The only thing that stays the same is change. When you think that, oh, I've got it all figured out, I'm going to write my book on raising kids. If they're not 19, don't do that. I've got it all figured out. Me and my husband got it figured out. Everything changes. The kids are going to leave. And now you're like, oh my gosh, I'm empty nesting. Oh, should we stay together? Are we in business or not in business? Because we were in business to raise kids, but now we don't do it anymore. So be careful in times of change not to have knee-jerk reactions to mess us up, to keep us back. I'm almost done. We know the story for the sake of time. God gives him a burning bush experience because God wanted to get his attention. Right now, we've all had kind of a burning bush experience, right? The world's on fire, but it's not burned up. We preached last week that we are going through hell, but we don't stop. The three Hebrew children were thrown in the fiery furnace, but they came out and they didn't smell like smoke. God is trying to get our attention, Faith Church, today, to know who we really are. Verse 11 says, Moses protested to God and said, who am I? Who am I? The Lord would know my name. Who are you? That's what he's asking. Who am I? And that's a deep question. Who am I? That's kind of like, where am I? In the garden, Adam and Eve, they didn't know who they were. And they didn't know where they were because the enemy came in and started confusing them. Hath God said, who am I? Yeah. And then he says it again. Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? And I love verse 12. God answered, I will be with you. At home, shout at church, I will be with you. God is with you in the midst of this crisis. God is the one who's saying, who are you? You're the son and daughter of the Most High God. You will date and marry this year. It might be a delay, but it'll not be a deny. Why? Because God is with you. Verse 13, we see more insecurity, more identity crisis come out. Verse 13, but Moses protested, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them, God, they're probably not going to listen to me. Who am I? Verse 14, God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say to the people of Israel, I am sent you. So today, that's what I did when I started Faith Church. Who am I to start a church? Who am I to preach to these people? I am who I am because God said I am. I'm a good ball player because my dad said I am. I can sing because my dad said I can. I can get married and be happy because my dad said I can. I can be blessed coming in and blessed going out because dad said I am. Who said that? God, the creator of heaven and earth, and he knows your name. He knows the hairs on your head. He has a purpose for your heart, and he doesn't want you to continue to overcompensate because when you overcompensate, you look cocky and scared. I want you to write this down. Here's a little meme that I kind of made this week that I want you to really feel this. You feel the need to overcompensate to show how intelligent you are. So people actually really think you're cocky. But you're really not cocky, you're scared. You're really not cocky, you're scared. People that walk through the mall and go, you know, here's the way I look, look at me. They're actually saying, I don't feel loved, I don't feel esteemed. People who try to dominate the conversation And they actually have some phrases made up that they're like, this is really going to make me look smart if I get all these words just right. And then they try to think, where do I interject this? They're not reading the room at all. And they don't realize that people aren't even talking about what they're talking about. So they look so weird talking about something nobody's talking about. In other words, sometimes we're asking questions people aren't asking. And that's why I want you to know today that I want you to not look cocky. I want you to know whose you are. And I want you to know that God's got a big plan for your life, and God's pleading with you to actually know who you are in Him. Last little verse here in verse 10, Moses pleaded with the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I never have been good with words. I'm not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied. I get all tangled up. I just don't know what to say." Then the Lord asked Moses, "Who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether a person can speak or not speak? Who can hear and not hear? Who can see and not see? Is it not the Lord? Now go, I will be with you, and speak what I instruct you to say." And many of you are watching right now, and you're like, man, I don't know who this preacher is. Somebody hit it on, you know, Facebook and shared it, and so who are you? It really doesn't matter who I am. It really matters whose I am. But if I'm speaking to you, there's a scripture that says, "My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they not follow." When God told Moses, go tell them what I'm telling you to say. When I'm preaching at home, and I'd rather be with you, but man, we're going to take these lemons, we're going to make lemonade out of it. And I feel the Holy Spirit right now tugging on my heart that I'm talking to a lot of you that are going through something, but you're actually going to something. But right now, your behavior is not that which is lovely. It's not that which is gracious. And truth be known, you don't even like you. But what if you were to go tell people what I told you at the beginning when I said I was looking for my identity and my dad said, that's not it. And maybe you've been looking for your identity and I'm telling you today, that's not it. Your identity can only be found in Jesus. So maybe you should go tell the people that you love, hey, the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I know you don't like me right now because I don't like me. And the reason why I don't like me is I put on my COVID-19 weight. So I feel bad about me. I'm depressed, so I'm stress eating. Trust me, I'm preaching. I ate the tops off of 2 cupcakes last night because I was like, because sometimes when you're going to something, you're also, you can't lie about it. You're going through something. And there's this vortex of wind that's got you spinning and you don't know what's going on. Just be you. Don't be cocky. Don't be rude. Don't be arrogant. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love is tenderhearted. Love's not puffed up. I want you for a moment to know that this. And I want you to say this with me. Shout it with me. Shout, I'm loved. I'm His. Go ahead. I'm worthy. I'm purposed. I'm royal. I'm known. I'm favored. I'm delivered. I'm chosen. I'm healed. I'm qualified. I'm a child of the Most High God. Those are affirmations. And you might not believe that at all right now because you're still looking for yourself. You're like, I'm unattractive. I'm fat. I'm mad. I'm adopted. I'm not lovely. All that is a reprogramming and a rewiring in your mind. And I want to come alongside you and help you with that. Actually, what I want you to do is I want you to text this word, declare. I want you to text 314-530-2525. So when you text 314-530-2525, you just text the word declare. Immediately, it's going to prompt some stuff that I've written down that I want you to say over the next 7 days. And you can get back with me in a week from now. And you can say, hey, Pastor, it made me feel different, because it will. But you can't just look at the mountain and tell the mountain how big it is. You need to look at your God and say, God, I just decree and declare that you're bigger than that mountain. And eventually, it'll kick on the inside of you and you'll go, I am royal. I am known. I am blessed. I am favored. I'm declared the righteousness of God in Christ. I know I am who He says I am. I'm just here in the living room right now, and a couple of my friends are going to come over and we're going to sing that song, and my daughter's going to sing that song with me. But before we sing it, I want you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. I ask you, Lord, to become my Savior. I turn my back on my past and I turn my face toward the cross. You are now my Lord and Savior. Now, friend, if you prayed that prayer, I want to come alongside you and help. I want you to text that same number, but just a different word. Actually, for salvation, I want you to text that same number or go to faithchurch.com and just, you know, click on salvation. We're going to come alongside you and help you in any way that we possibly can. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you will touch your people. Now that they've received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, God, that they will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're loved, that they're known, and that you're working behind the scenes in their favor. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining us on our podcast today. We certainly hope it spoke to you in the same way it was speaking to us. If you enjoyed this message today, there's a few things I'd like to encourage you to do. First of all, subscribing to it. It's really easy to get these Faith Church sermons sent straight to your phone with a notification as soon as they're ready. I mean, you want that, right? Secondly, by sharing with a friend on social media, just like you might share a sale or some great restaurant, we're looking for you to share it with your friends. You never know in your network of friends who really needs this message today. And lastly, before you go, if you'll rate and review this on iTunes, it'll really help us expand our reach, help more people globally. Each time there's a positive rating, this really helps push us in front of more people. So that's what I want you to do. And if you live in the St. Louis area or West Palm Beach, come out and see us at our physical locations. If you don't, make sure you tune in to our church online. It's a real campus at faithchurch.com.